In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. A lesson from the book of Sirach. Moses was beloved of God, and men whose memory is in benediction. He made him like the saints in glory, and magnified him in the fear of his enemies. And with his words he made prodigies to cease. He glorified him in the sight of kings. He gave him commandments in the sight of his people, and showed him his glory. He sanctified him in his faith and in meekness, and chose him out of all flesh. For he heard him and his voice, and brought him into a cloud, and he gave him commandments before his face, and the law of life and instruction, that he might teach Jacob his covenant, and Israel his judgments. A reading from the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Then Peter, answering him, said to him, "Behold, we have left all things, and have followed thee. What therefore shall we have?" And Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, you that have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the seat of his majesty, you shall also sit on 12 seats, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one of you who hath left houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall possess life everlasting." The Gospel of the Lord. So today we celebrate this great feast day. Does anybody know what a great feast day it is? The feast of St. Francis Borgia. St. Francis Borgia. This is a great saint. I love this feast day every year when it comes up, the feast of St. Francis Borgia, because St. Francis Borgia, he doesn't come from a good family. He really comes from a very bad family. In fact, the name of Borgia is synonymous with evil. Our culture, whenever they hear the name Borgia, if anybody knows it, which is very few, but those who know it, laugh and ridicule the church because of the name of Borgia. Why? Because there was one pope who had the name of Borgia, and he was probably the most wicked and vile and worldly pope that the church has ever seen. In fact, there are multiple pay-for-watching video series about this pope and his family and the evil that he wrought in his own family, which is a great disgrace to the church. And yet, at the same time, I see it as a great honor to the church, because even as bad as a man as he was, he always professed the faith. He always stayed close to the faith of Christ. And that should show something for us. Even that Pope Alexander IV, who was such an evil pope and did such evil things and destroyed so much of what was good, and yet he still maintained the faith from the office of the papacy. And so we can thank God for that, that even somebody so vile in their actions can still find closeness to Christ in his church. But St. Francis Borgia was different. See, St. Francis Borgia, he was a Spanish prince from the same Borgia family that was there. And so because of this, he was very high up. In fact, so well-bred was he that he was a great relative of King Ferdinand of Spain, King Ferdinand of Aragon. Remember, it was Ferdinand of Aragon and Isabella of Castile. The two of them, when they came together, they formed this alliance together in their marriage and were able to be the ones who were the first Reyes Católicos, the first Catholic kings who drove out the Moors, drove out the Muslims from Spain, making it a one Catholic country. He was a cousin of Ferdinand, and he was always enamored with his wife Isabel, who Queen Isabel was one of the most fair, most beautiful women in the entire land. And he loved to be at court with her because she held herself with such dignity. St. Francis Borgia, from his young age, was enamored with Christ. Just like I told you about some of the saints previously, yes, too, his first words were not of mom and dad, but Jesus and Mary. His first words were to call upon those most holy names, those sacred names that issue forth. He, even from his first early ages, by the age of 7, he was not only able to read in his own language, but he was also able to read and even to begin to compose writing in the language of the church in Latin at the age of 7. He was so skilled. God had given him so many graces. They saw his prodigies and wanted to send him forth on a life of doing great things to build up the family of the Borgia name, to be able to do so. But he had a longing for something which was even greater than that, but he didn't know what it was yet. He was married off to a beautiful woman by the name of, I believe it was Florence. Eleanor. He was married to a beautiful woman by the name of Eleanor. And when they came together in their love together, they had a number of children to glorify God with. But sadly, Eleanor passed early on in her life. leaving him with these children to care for, which he desired to do to the best of his ability. There was one time, and this is the great moment of conversion in the life of St. Francis Borgia. He was a very worldly man, but had a man of faith. So he was very strong in all sorts of areas. But St. Francis Borgia, when he was this young man, he had the grace of accompanying, being one of the ones who would lead Queen Isabella, convey her from the place where she passed away all the way to the place where her body would rest. He was one of those courtiers, those knights who would guard the royal body and make sure that she went through all the places she was to go where she would finally be buried. Taking that upon himself as a good nobleman, journeyed from place to place, felt himself as the greatest, always dressed in the best and the finest to show off his own dignity. And when he finally came to the place where they were going to lay her to rest, it was customary that what they had to do was to make sure that they were burying the right person. He was one of the few who had to identify the corpse who was there. So as they went on this many days journey, long before embalming was a thing, opened up the casket. And there, to look upon and identify the queen who was so beautiful, who he was so enamored with, who he was so full of joy and pride that he got to accompany her. What did he do? When that casket was opened, he saw nothing but putrescence. Nothing but vile corruption. The great and awful smell that came from this corpse that was there caused him to shriek back, to turn away, because he could not be in the presence of something that was so distasteful. He said, "This is the beautiful woman who I've loved to serve and to be around for so long, and here she is so corrupted." From that moment, he pledged something which he never forgot, and is recorded in the annals of history. He said, "Never again will I ever serve a master, a king, who can fall prey to such corruption." That created a change within his heart. He began re-examining everything that was going on within his life from that moment forward, examining, am I doing something that is worthwhile? Am I doing something that will last? Am I doing something that will eventually end in that same corruption that was there? What good is the vestments that I wear? What good is the job which I have? What good is the house that I make for myself? He began asking these deep and profound questions that each of us struggle with at each moment of our life and our best moments. And he came to the conclusion that this wasn't the way for him. Is there something more? That's when he became acquainted with the Jesuit order. He saw the things that they did and how they lived, and he wondered, could God, even at this later portion of my life, I'm in my 40s now, can God be calling me to something more? And so through the work of his spiritual director, through going on the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola himself, and by really moving in, he found out that this was indeed his call. So he made sure that each one of his children were well provided from the riches he had gained for himself. He passed on the title of Duke, which was his, to his firstborn son to carry on the family name. And he himself went to become a low brother there in the Jesuit order, receiving the priesthood in the same year. From there, he did many great things. In fact, some of you may know Father Simon Carrion. Father Simon Carrion actually attended the university and graduated there with great honors from that university, which St. Francis Borgia founded in the city of Rome. Today it is called the Gregorian University, where many, many saints have gone and studied, including my own patron saint, St. Maximilian Kolbe. He reformed the church in a great way and actually became the third general order, the third one who was in charge of all the Jesuits in the line of St. Ignatius of Loyola. A man who was of great power and wealth in this life sought to flee it all. In fact, there were a couple times where he was given the opportunity to receive the crimson beretta, the crimson hat, to receive the call to be a cardinal of the church and possibly even there become a pope. They would have another great saintly pope, Borgia, probably, if he would have chosen. But hearing these, just like so many of the great saints of old, he heard that the pope desired this, and so what did he do? He fled. He left where he was and went and hid in the most obscure place in all of Spain, northern Spain, so they wouldn't be able to find him to even give him that hat. This is the life of sanctity and the holiness of this saint who wanted nothing but to serve Christ. The message of the Jesuit order is always ad maiorem Dei Gloriam. Remember when we shared that with you when I first came to this parish? Ad maiorem Dei Gloriam. All things to the glory of God. So what lessons can we draw from the life of this great saint, St. Francis Borgia? One, from his experience with Isabella, to recognize that the riches of this world have nothing. Everything ends in corruption. Why do we spend our lives seeking to serve, to make ourselves the master, the slave, the servant of those who will ultimately end in corruption? If what we're doing doesn't end in glory, if when we bring it, whatever it is that we're working with, the work of our hands, the work of our soul, spending our time, if when it passes through the fires of judgment, we'll go up like hay and straw, Why are we even attempting it? Only hold those things which will be further purified, further beautified when they pass through those eternal fires that separate this life and the life which is to come in heaven. Work toward those things which will last. Second message. No matter where we find ourselves in our life, whether we are at the young prime age of 7 when he began to pursue a life of sanctity, this young Francis Borgia, or whether it was later on when he had his real conversion in his 40s accompanying that Isabella, there's always an opportunity to re-examine our lives and to do something different to follow God, to give ourselves even more generously. There's never a moment to answer our vocation, which is a bad moment to answer our vocation. Answer it now. Today is always the day of conversion. As the church says, Ecclesia Christi semper reformata est. The Church of Christ is always in need of a state of reform. That includes today for the church in general and for we as members of that church, even with our own souls. So let us ask our Lord during this time that we have to give us the graces that he gave to St. Francis Borgia, to seek him, to run away from those things which pass, and to follow him with a deeper lack of reserve within our own life, trusting as he spoke to us in the gospel today from Matthew. Don't worry about your life. There's not a single person who has left brother or sister, who has left mother or father, who has left children in this life. Not a one who has left lands for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive 100-fold in this life with suffering and eternal life in the life which is to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.